So just to remind you of the subject again, Israel, living proof of a God. And Simon, our speaker, has asked that we take a short Bible introduction to that talk, and that's from Deuteronomy chapter 7, just reading together verses 6, 7 and 8. Now these are some words that God gave to Moses, which Moses then gave to the people of Israel. So Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So now it's my pleasure to ask Simon to step forward, please, and to talk on that subject, Israel, living proof of a God. Thank you, Simon.
Well, brethren, sisters and friends, thank you for coming out this afternoon. Well, this evening. I've had some problems this afternoon, brethren and sisters. I've been putting curtain rails up. I've been doing email accounts. I've converted my talk from black country to English. From English to Persian. I was just about to print it off. I asked the mother-in-law if it was okay to print off. And after half an hour, I had the response, I'm low on black ink. So I've had some problems this afternoon, brethren and sisters. Okay then, Israel, living proof of a God. Why do Christadelphians keep going on about Israel? This one country, no other, Israel. Why is Israel mentioned so often in our conversations with one another? In our public talks, in our magazines, even on the leaflets at the back. They're all centred around Israel and God's people, the Jews. Well, we've got the answer, haven't we, in the Bible. And we've read about that answer, haven't we? Come with me to our reading. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Chapter 7, sorry. It's time to go home, isn't it? Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is why. It's because the Jews are a holy people, aren't they, to the Lord your God. And the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself. A special treasure, or a peculiar treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any other people, or that you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep his oath which he swore to the fathers, and the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from a house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. But there was conditions, wasn't there? There was conditions to being God's chosen people. Because if we look in Leviticus chapter 26, and if we look at those first few verses, verses 1 to 15, we can see that there was conditions that they had to, and we're told about those conditions in verses 1 to 15 of what the people needed to do. And then later on, verses 15 and onwards, we're told what they shouldn't do if they was to be unfaithful. I think I've given you the wrong reading there. It could be Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 15. But the chapter is dedicated to the conditions that they needed to meet. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 37, we have these words. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. And just look at that verse 64, Deuteronomy 28, 64 to 67. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And they shall serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, talking about the Jews. Neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have no assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. So the nation of Israel, it's a witness, isn't it, to us today. Because of their unfaithfulness, all the things written about them, what would happen to them, have come upon them throughout their long history, haven't they? Hasn't it? In all this, they bear witness, don't they, to the veracity of the word of God and to the one with whom they turned away, sadly. Today, many Jewish people, they don't even acknowledge, do they, God's existence. Just come with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Because scripture speaks for itself, doesn't it? Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there was no Saviour. I have declared and saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. And they are, aren't they? They are God's witnesses. This nation, the Jews, Israel, there is a God. But, reluctant and unknowing as they may be today, all throughout the Old Testament, the Jewish people are referred to by God as my people. And we could go to quite a few instances, couldn't we? And turn up quite a few verses referring to my people, talking about the Jews. And it's still the case today. So, God's made a promise, hasn't he? Come with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. You see, long before Israel became a nation, like they are today, God made some wonderful promises, didn't he, to their forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and many others. And this is one of the promises that was made to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This promise became just as true to the nation as it did to Abraham himself. And it's still totally not fulfilled. All throughout history, we've seen a fulfillment of this, haven't we? Many nations have risen and fallen, all because of the way they treated God's people, the Jews, Israel. On many occasions, nations were used by God, wasn't they, to bring about his judgments on his people. On other occasions, nations have suffered judgments from God because of their harsh treatment of his people. And yet today, this ancient promise of blessing and cursing, it still applies. And we see it at work in the world today, don't we? Israel and the Jews at the time of the end. They're still a potent witness, aren't they, to the reliability, to the truthfulness of the Word of God, the Bible, and to the fact that he is still active in the affairs of this world. You see, I can honestly say that without the nation of Israel, if we didn't have the nation of Israel, and we didn't have the Jews, and they were utterly destroyed, I can honestly say I don't think any of us would be here tonight. For there wouldn't be a hope, wouldn't there? There wouldn't be a hope of Israel without the nation of Israel and without the Jews. But just consider the following. And we're just scratching the surface. The evidence that we could put before you. But just have a think about the following. Consider AD 70. Look it up in your history books. And if you require any further validation, the return of the Jews. In AD 70, the Jewish nation came to an end when the Roman army conquered Jerusalem. They killed many of its inhabitants and scattered the survivors throughout all the nations of the world. And yet this was foretold that it was going to happen in the Bible. Come with me to Luke. Luke 21. Because the Bible foretold, didn't it? It prophesied that this event of AD 70 was going to happen. It was foretold their scattering back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. It was foretold. It was a prophecy given by Moses through God over 1,000 years earlier. And then some 40 years closer to the time by the prophet like Moses, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke 21. Just have a look at verse 24. They, the Jews, will fall by the edge of a sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So we have a dispersion, don't we, that was foretold in the Bible. What would happen? Following the destruction in AD 70, the Jews began a long period, didn't they, of dispersion throughout all the nations of the world, having no homeland of their own, and often being moved on. And we've got the phrase, haven't we, today, anti-Semitism led to persecution of the Jews. This period of dispersion lasted for more than 1,800 years, until near the end of the 19th century, when a movement began towards a national recovery and a resettlement in a land that they didn't have at the time of their forefathers. This began in 1918 to 1939. There was a steady trickling of Jews back to the land, mainly into the area around Tel Aviv. Many of these were fleeing from persecution in Russia. It was, however, the Holocaust and the Second World War which turned the trickle into a flood. Since then, there has been a regular return of the Jews to the land of their forefathers. It's a dispersion. Despite the many persecutions, and just think of all the persecutions the Jews have undergone, which they have suffered, and yet the Jews have kept their distinct identity, haven't they? It's a modern day miracle, isn't it, that they're still here. In the return of the Jews to the land and the establishment of the state of Israel as a Jewish state, we see a miracle, don't we? Which also fulfills what the Bible predicted. This dispersion was prophesied, but so too was their restoration. These prophets also give compelling evidence, don't they, to the veracity and the reliability of God's word. Here are some of the prophecies. Just come with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 16. This was told long before it all happened. Jeremiah 16 and verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into the land that I gave unto their fathers. Behold, I will send many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill, and out of the holes and of the rocks. For mine eyes are upon all their ways, and they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. And just turn over a few chapters to Jeremiah 30 and verse 3. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And just over a chapter to Jeremiah 31 and verse 8. And I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child and her that travaileth with child. Together a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers, a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. Although all of the above quotations are from the prophecy of Jeremiah, but he's not the only one, is he, that foretells of these momentous events. The return is a work of God. It is he who is in control. Just come with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. It is for his holy name's sake, and as a vindication of his word, that these events are taking place. Not because of any righteousness displayed by the Jews. In fact, they are returning in unbelief most, and generally are quite ignorant of the hand of God at work in their lives. This is what he declares through Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36 and verse 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all the countries, and I will bring you unto your own land. And not forgetting, this was all wrote before they even had a land of their own that they could call their own. They was in dispersion, wasn't they? when visitors rose. But just turn back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33 and verse 25. Thus says the Lord, if my covenant is not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the descendants of Jacob and David, my servant, the Jews, so that I will not take any of his descendants to be rulers over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return, and I will have mercy on them. See, the Jews in general think they're acting on their own initiative and skill in returning to the land of their forefathers and in their own ability to remain and become established in the land. This is how it also appears to the nations of the world today. But nothing could be further from the truth, could it? The Jewish people are back in the land of their forefathers in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And these prophecies of the return, we have seen, haven't we? And we're seeing in the Word of God being fulfilled before our very eyes. And you can go on to YouTube and you can type in the return of the Jews back to the land. And you'll come up with many short little videos telling us about how the Jews are returning back to the land. Here's just one of those videos.
The number of Jews are returning to Israel is part of a fulfillment of prophecy spoken in the Bible. Reporter Charlene Aaron.
Oops. I knew it was going too well tonight.
Jews are returning to Israel is part of a fulfillment of prophecy spoken in the Bible. Reporter Charlene Aaron recently spoke with the head of one organization on the front lines of helping the Jewish people make their way home.
Earlier this year, immigrants from North America landed at Tel Aviv's Ben-Gurion International Airport to make Israel their home. Seeing Jewish people return to Israel is literally watching Bible prophecy unfold. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all speak of the Jewish return to the land.
It says several times in Isaiah, I will lift up a banner to the nations, to the Gentiles. They shall bring your sons and your daughters back.
Deborah Minotti heads Operation Exodus, an organization that helps Jews return to their biblical homeland. She says since 2014, there's been a 79% increase of inquiries about assistance to return to Israel.
If I can just give glory to God because this is his work. In 1948, Israel had 800,000 Jewish people in the land. When they became a nation in one day, like Isaiah said, now there's over 6 million. So that is incredible, over 67 years. And so they're going back by the plane loads yearly.
Operation Exodus partners with the Jewish Agency for Israel and other groups to help Jews move to Israel. The organization also provides humanitarian aid to Holocaust survivors and others in the former Soviet Union. A big part in helping those seeking to return is the power of prayer.
We pray for their safety. We also pray that they would get jobs quickly. And those things are holding them back here. The frustrations, you know, there's family issues that are going on, children who are sick.
Minotti says there are many reasons Jews are returning to their homeland.
Many of them are saying Hashem is calling us back to the land. Others are saying, I want my children to be raised in a Jewish homeland. Other ones are saying, I want to defend Israel. I want to be there. I'm a Zionist. They say this is 1939. So they say we see the handwriting on that wall.
Motivated by love for Israel and for the Jewish people, Operation Exodus offers Minotti and others the opportunity to work with God to bring his prophecies to pass.
You wake up and you think, what an awesome responsibility and what an awesome joy it is at the same time. It is deep joy. And there's a cost to standing with Israel. So it's intense, But I love it. I love it. And our workers love it. Our volunteers love it. It's only
going to
grow.
Charlene Aaron, CBN News.
You couldn't make it up, could you, brethren and sisters and friends? Yeah, what we're seeing, it's a modern day miracle, isn't it? But the Jews are returning back to the land as foretold in the Bible. You couldn't make that up, could you? And yet, when we consider their neighbours that they have, like Iran, who would like to wipe them off the face of the earth, Hezbollah, Fatah, and we could go on, couldn't we, naming all of the people who are hostile to the Jews, all of their neighbours, none of them want them there, and yet they're returning back to the land. And that's it, 6 million. We're now up to 8 million Jews back in the land. It's absolutely amazing, isn't it? It's fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But just consider for one moment the dramatic events or the dramatic development of Israel as a nation. They've been going for just over 70 years. It was established in May 1948 in the land. And they've had an unprecedented growth, haven't they? Quite amazing, is it? How they've gone from being persecuted on every angle to becoming a major player in the world, in high-tech industries. Israel and its existence, it's quite remarkable, isn't it? And yet the Christadelphians have been foretelling this for a long time. In the corner there, we've got Brother John Thomas, wrote Help Us Israel, 1861. And he was writing about the return of the Jews back to the land in 1861. We've had many leaflets and magazines all talking about the Jews returning back to the land. So we've looked back in our Bible and we've seen the history of the nation of God's people and His will being unfolded with them. But now we can look into the future, can't we? To see what's going to happen. Well, by looking into our prophecies, our prophetic books, we can say with certainty what the overall plan of God is. However, it's very much like a big jigsaw. We have the outline, we have the final picture. But depending on how you read certain verses and what weight you put on them, we can put the pieces maybe in slightly different order. But let's start with some given pieces of that jigsaw. We know that firstly, that the Jews are God's chosen people. There's no denying that. We've read about it, haven't we? We know that the people need to undergo, don't we? The Jews need to undergo a spiritual renewal before they're ready for the return of their son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be their king. A percentage of the Jews don't even recognize Jesus to be their future king. So there needs to be a spiritual renewing, doesn't there, amongst the nation, and a major change of heart. Come with me to Ezekiel. Ezekiel tells us about this. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take you away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and to keep my judgments and to do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Just turn over a few pages to Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. You see, I suspect that not all the people in the land will turn from their ways. For Malachi gives us an answer, doesn't he, as to what will happen. Malachi 4 and verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, and yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, but it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Just turn with me to Zechariah chapter 14. Another certain piece of the jigsaw is that there will be a mighty invasion of the land from the north. An invasion like we've never seen the likes of before. And this will be coming from the north. Zechariah 14 and verse 2. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And in Joel chapter 3, we have some further information, don't we? Joel chapter 3 and verse 2. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is just outside Jerusalem, and will plead with them for they're my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered amongst the nations and parted my land. Back in Ezekiel 38, and verse 14, we have these words. Ezekiel 38 and verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and thy many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company, and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants and by the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years, that I will bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time, when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. Keep a finger in Ezekiel, because I'm going to come back to Ezekiel 39. But just turn to Isaiah 29. You see, we can see that this will be a dark and it will be a worrying period for Israel, with cities being captured, prisoners taken, multitudes of people slain. But the outcome is clear. It is in that period of trouble, like they have never known before, in that time that Jesus will return to his people on the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives, we know, will be split by a mighty earthquake. Isaiah 29 and verse 6. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and with earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. and the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her shall be as a dream of a night vision. So dark is this period in Israel's history that 7 months they'll be burying their dead. We're told, aren't we, in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 39 and verse 11. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers to the east, on the east of the sea. And it shall be stopped, and it shall stop the noise of the passengers, and they shall there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Harmagon. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall seven out of men a continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And all the passengers that pass through the land, when we see it for man's bones, then shall he set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried. So we can see, can't we? And I think you'll agree that the events, they're breathtaking, aren't they? The Jews are brought back from all four corners of the earth to return back to the land. And we're seeing that land, aren't we? Returning back to the land today, as we've seen on that video. There's going to be a reconciliation. There's going to be a forgiveness, isn't there? And there's going to be a mighty exodus, which begins, which is nothing, is it, compared to the present day. They will come to the land of Israel from the north and from the south. These people in the land will become a mighty nation, with the Lord Jesus Christ being their king. This is what's held for us and what we're told of in the Bible. Lord Jesus Christ is going to be their king. In those days the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In Isaiah we have these words, Isaiah 11 verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a remarkable time we have set before us. So we've looked at the dispersion. We've looked at them returning back to the land. But the question is, do you want to be part of God's plan with this earth? That's the question, isn't it? Do you want to be part of God's plan? Because if you do, then we need to read our Bibles, don't we? And we need to follow the instruction that's therein. And hopefully, by prayer and by correctly applying what God's word says, by God's mercy and by God's grace, we too will be part of that plan, won't we? And we'll be granted everlasting life. Life living for evermore. Do you want to be part of that? Thank you for listening.